This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Reverend Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Stay tuned at the end of the program for information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, and printed copies of today's sermon. We hope you enjoy listening today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Is it possible for the average person to understand the grace of God? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day of grace, a day where you can reach down and promise to us that by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, the past can be forgiven, and we can advance into the future confident that you are walking with us. This concept is so immense that the human mind can hardly understand. But clarify it for us, we ask it, Lord Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. Friends in Christ, is it possible for the average person to understand the grace of God? That concept that we talk about so often in the Christian faith, that we are saved by grace. In other words, that God reaches down and meets us where we are, and grants us the forgiveness of our sins. Is that logical? If our lives are apart and God will take us into the kingdom to be His forever? I have this thought because it is found in our text today. And our text is a portion of God's Word that I'm sure comes under great, great decisions as to what he is actually trying to say. I read it to you. It's from the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day, and he sent them into the vineyard. About the third hour, He went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing, and he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. At about the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around, and he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." That's our text. And I'm sure that it caused a great deal of confusion in the thinking of those men who had worked there all day long. Should we have equal pay when we have worked for 12 hours and these people came in the last shift? This is unfair. It is unreasonable. It doesn't make sense. We should get what we have earned, and they should get what they have earned, and that would be very, very little. Now, if we were discussing this text on the basis of human reason and fairness, I think we would have to agree with those workers who at the end of the day were very, very angry. But when we take a look at it from the standpoint of the grace of God and His being able to do whatever He so pleases, it is a story of another color. Our Lord Jesus Christ is saying here today that He has a right to act as He pleases, for He is the God of all creation, and He chooses to work in the area of the grace of God. Not necessarily so concerned about what human beings might deserve. For if that were the case, who then would be able to stand? But rather to act with the idea of the mercy of God. Now let me turn you to another passage of Scripture that is known to you. It is read every Good Friday in our churches. It is a text that we can never forget. Our Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and there beside Him were two criminals. They hung there with great pain, without a doubt. And one of them said, "Aren't you the Christ? You save yourselves and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence, and we have to admit that we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Does that make sense? Can the world grab a hold of something like this? That here is a person who lived such a terrible life that he was being sentenced to death. He was a criminal on death row. And yet Jesus turned and said to him when he saw the man's repentance and faith, today, you will be with me in paradise. The man was going into the presence of God for all eternity, based completely on the promise of God and what Jesus Christ was doing for him at that present hour. That's grace. Can our mind be reconciled to something like this? We live in an age, and it's always been like this, that a person should be paid for what he does. No less, no more necessarily. God defies all of that reason and just simply says, out of grace, you're going to be with me today in paradise. That's hard for the human being to understand. It's hard for people to comprehend that part of the Christian faith, the grace of God. Now let me read you one other passage that also is very familiar. It's a story of the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And as she is standing there, Jesus meets with her and says, what's going on here? Well, they brought me to you, she said, and I am condemned, for they caught me right in the very act of adultery. And so Jesus turned and said to the teachers of the law and the Pharisees who brought the woman, what do you have for a charge against her? A teacher, these people said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, we are commanded to stone such a woman. See, she was going to get what she had coming. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And no one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. Very, very interesting again, isn't it? Shouldn't they perhaps have said, now look, there's a possibility that you can be forgiven and restored as a citizen of this community. But you straighten up your life according to the law of Moses. And after a few years, we'll take a look at your case again, and maybe you can be absolved and be a good citizen here. But Jesus doesn't say that. That's the thinking of the human being. And how else can we think if we want to have any order in our society at all. But Jesus turns to her and says, they didn't condemn you, neither do I. But listen, as you go along your way, don't you just begin to think you can live like you have been living. Because it is my grace that has brought you into a living relationship with me. You now know what the forgiveness of sin is all about. That means that your life is going to be different. We don't know what happened to that lady after that, but I'm quite sure that it was not the same. A few years ago, after I had conducted a funeral for a family whose loved one had passed away, I preached the gospel as best I knew how. And after the service, the young man came up to me and he said, I want to thank you. Thank you very much for that message of salvation. That salvation that I could not understand a few years ago. But now, by the grace of God, I do understand His grace. And I recall that young man. He had been hard into drugs, and he was sentenced. For 7 years, he was in prison. But while he was there, he was converted. He came to Christ. And the people of God said to him, you know, you can be completely forgiven, not only for your sin of being involved with drugs, but all the other things that are so terribly unrighteous about your life. And it was there, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he gave his life to the Lord Jesus and became a new man. He was fresh out of prison when I talked with him. He was at the funeral of another relative. And now he came up and talked with me and said, I'm glad to see you again. I asked him, where are you worshiping? And he told me. And I said to him, what is your relationship with the Lord Jesus? And he said, I still follow him. But you know, he said, I would many a time have turned back. And I would have been resentenced again and again, and perhaps that's where I would have spent my life. But it is the grace of God that has grabbed me and turned me around and has made me a new person. I become more confident every day that if I abide in His grace, then all will be well. My wife used to conduct a Bible class. And on this particular occasion, she was dealing with walking in your baptismal covenant. That means for us who believes in infant baptism, that you become a child of God and you are instructed in the principles of the Christian faith. You learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and you grow up and you receive Him consciously into your own heart and life. And there you live with Him. In other words, it simply means that you can never remember a day in your life when you didn't believe that Jesus Christ was your Savior. My wife was expounding on her testimony, and having been raised in a very God-fearing home, she understood what it was to live day by day with Christ from the very beginning. A lady in the class said, how different from mine. And she went on to say how long she had lived outside of a relationship with God. Then one day, a Christian friend introduced her to the Lord Jesus. She began to experience what it was to live in God's grace, that she could meet the new day and know that all of her sins were forgiven. And those 20 or 30 or 40 years, I can't remember how many they were, that she had been outside of a relationship with God. And all the things that she had done wrong there could be forgiven. And even after her commitment, even to the present hour, they could be forgiven. What a glorious thing to know the difference between the past life and the new life under the grace of God. My wife said to her while the class was still going on, "Sometimes I wish that I could have had one of those conversions. Oh, I did have a spiritual awakening, more than one, but I have really never known the day when I didn't trust Jesus as my Savior and my Lord." And the lady who had been converted turned to my wife and said, "No, you wouldn't like to have your life like mine. Think of all of those wasted days that I had. But I couldn't comprehend it. I couldn't understand it. Because I thought if there was any way that I was going to be in a relationship with God, I had to be like those people in our text who got in there the first hour and worked hard in the scorching heat and did this and I did that." And then I learned that He reached down and received me as His own. And from that day on, I have wanted to be His. I want to live as close to Him as I can. I slip, I fall, I'm tempted, I grow angry, but I know He's mine. The world doesn't understand that process of thinking until they have first thought like the world thinks, and then begin to think as Jesus thought. We live in the grace of God. As we receive Him, then we have peace. Our ways are not always righteous, but then there is joy. Think of what our last days can be, friend, when we're about to breathe that last and hear our Father say, "Welcome home. By the grace of God, amen."
Jesus, name on name.
Father in heaven, we thank you that you reach out to us in your love, that you do not deal with us according to our good works, nor do you reach out to us to condemn us as far as our sins are concerned. But you reach out to us in the name of Jesus and tell us that because your Son bore our sins on the cross, so we can be forgiven. O Lord, where there is faith in our hearts, strengthen it. And where there's an emptiness, where those who do not understand how you work may begin to comprehend that there is such a thing as unearned favor with God, His grace. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We pray the sermon you have heard today will be a source of hope in the coming week. Christian Crusaders extends our sincere thanks to those who support this ministry through their gifts and prayers. Many supporters have joined our GEM, or Gift Every Month Club. This club allows donors to give a regular amount each month to support this ministry. Please call us today to find out more at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders produces a quarterly newsletter featuring a special article by Reverend Larson, as well as thoughts from others in this ministry. The theme of the current newsletter is Worry. To sign up for our mailing list, call or write to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.